Call Back the Past.
In the midst of war, South Africa was saddened in 1944 by the death of Colonel Denys Raitt. Many more lives were being lost on the battlefields and in Europe's cities as bombing raids intensified. Germany was taking the main onslaught as British and American bombers penetrated the weakened Luftwaffe defenses and pounded the German cities until even the British House of Lords lodged protests. The only German reply had lately been the feared buzz bombs landing in the south of England, and even those stopped during 1944. Here is a recording of what turned out to be the very last robot bomb exploding in England. On the Mediterranean front, Allied landings in Greece and at Anzio, the bombardment and capture of Montecassino, and the taking of Rome. The Allies were rampant as Churchill came to the microphone to report,
"Since I spoke to you last, not only have the Hun invaders been driven from the lands they had ravaged, but the guts of the German army have been largely torn out by Russian valor and generalship. The American victories in the Pacific, and in particular their latest conquest and liberation of the Marshall Islands, constitute superb examples of the combination of naval, air, and military force. It is possible that the war in the Pacific may progress more rapidly than was formerly thought possible. The hour of our greatest effort and action is approaching, and when the signal is given, the whole circle of avenging nations will hurl themselves upon the foe and batter out the life of the cruelest tyranny which has ever sought to bar the progress of mankind."
Big hits of 1944. And while Axis soldiers dreamed of a speedy end to the war, the world at large was reading Kathleen Windsor's sensational, for 1944, Forever Amber, and Somerset Maugham's The Razor's Edge, also visiting the theatre to see Tennessee Williams's The Glass Menagerie or the hit musical Song of Norway. Far Eastern Front, the British were advancing in Burma, and General Douglas MacArthur was making good his promise to come back when he was forced to withdraw from Corregidor. Now, back in the Philippines, the imposing figure stepped out of a landing craft on Leyte Island, and by means of a portable radio transmitter, spoke these words.
"People of the Philippines, I have returned. By the grace of Almighty God, our forces stand again on Philippine soil. In the blood of our two peoples. The hour of your redemption is here. Rally to move. Let the indomitable spirit of Bataan and Corregidor lead on. As the lines of battle roll forward to bring you within the zone of operation, rise and strike. For your homes and ours, strike. For future generations of your sons and daughters, strike.
In the name of your sacred dead, strike. And a guidance, a divine God points the way. Follow in his name to the holy grail of righteous victory.
Back in Germany, Minister for Propaganda Joseph Goebbels was hard put to keep up the morale of his people. He spoke of a new miracle weapon which would turn the tide in their favor. Was it the V-2 or perhaps the atom bomb he had in mind?
Da kürzlich moderne deutsche Waffen, bei deren Anblick mir nicht das Herz höher schlug, sondern einen Augenblick stillstehen blieb.
Propaganda on the Allied side was ably served by the movies. Sharing the screens of 1944 with Dragon Seed, Gaslight, Henry V, and Going My Way was The White Cliffs of Dover with Irene Dunne and Hollywood Canteen with this song sung now by Bing Crosby and the Andrews Sisters.
Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze and listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in.
Just turn me loose, let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western sky. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise.
I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences and gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. And I can't look at hobbles, and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in.
Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze and listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't.
Even if Hitler wasn't suffering the claustrophobic feeling of being fenced in as the Allies advanced, many of his generals were. On July 20th of 1944, a number of them were involved in a plot to assassinate the Führer and make peace with the oncoming enemy. The briefcase in which they planted the assassination bomb was accidentally moved away from near the Führer in his bunker, and Hitler escaped with minor injuries to promise that those guilty would be punished and that all future orders would come from himself directly. Glenn Miller, top wartime band.
The BBC Home Service. Here is a special bulletin read by John Snag. D-Day has come. Early this morning, the Allies began the assault on the northwestern face of Hitler's European fortress. The first official news came just after 9:30, when Supreme Headquarters of the Allied Expeditionary Force issued communique number one. This said, under the command of General Eisenhower, Allied naval forces supported by strong air forces began landing Allied armies this morning on the northern coast of France.
This is Air Commodore Helmore calling. I'm talking to you in midair from a Mitchell bomber. This is invasion day. It's just before dawn. And we're on our way over to the coast of France to bomb an important bridge behind the invasion beaches so that railways can't supply the enemy when our troops land. We hope it'll be a good job. I could just see ahead of me the now fairly calm waters of the English Channel, and I'm hoping in a few minutes to get the first glimpse of our great invasion armada as they make their way to the coast of France. I'm looking out. We're now about 7,000 feet. The moon flashing through very high clouds. Sometimes we're in moonlight, sometimes we're not. It's just quite light enough to get a real glimpse of these brave chaps. But there I can see right down below quite a number of tiny dots. I wish I could see clearer, but it's the most exciting thing to think that these brave men are at last launched on this job.
Back the Past was devised and presented by Percy Seath and comes to you by courtesy of the Springbok Radio Preservation Society of South Africa.